Some places they use a ram's horn. We just use our vocal cords sometimes. What a wet day, but what a good day. I don't know if anybody else is coming to hear it or not, but we were praying at 12:30 for my son Matthew to pass a kidney stone. 12:30, quarter one, 12:20, somewhere in that area, and Doug stood in for him. It's been about been a couple of weeks now, and you know it has to come from your back around through your side and down into the urinary tract, and those things can get extremely painful, and you can't rest, you can't enjoy anything, because you never know when that pain is going to move. And so we were praying about 12:30, somewhere in that area, a little before, a little after, and as Doug stood in for him and got home, and he called immediately and he said, "Dad, around 12:30 I passed that stone." Hallelujah. Praise God. So you might see me look up at the clock sometimes when we're praying a particular prayer, because I like to see. It don't always happen right when we pray. Sometimes it takes some time, and sometimes it's a process. But it's kind of wonderful, because when I told him that Doug was standing in at that time and we were laying hands on, at that time, not just a general thing, but a specific time and place where prayer was being offered, he just melted. He said, "God, the Lord had to do that. I immediately when I passed it," he said, I said, "Lord, thank you. And thank you for everybody that's been praying for me." And he said, "Now I'm going to thank Doug. And I'm going to tell him to bless Doug." And, you know, praise God. And he just filled with joy that God heard and answered prayer. And then I called my dad and told him, because Dad had been praying for him. And I said, he chose the timing to just bring more honor and glory to his name, and to encourage us who are here tonight being challenged to pray and to look to God and to continue to believe him and trust him no matter what. So that's what we're here to do tonight, is just continue to trust him no matter what. I wish every prayer could be answered just like that. It would be so easy to get through things if every prayer was just a snap and the answer comes. Some prayers happen that way. Others, there's time. And I like the ones that happen just like that. But most of them don't, to be honest. Most of them, there's a process, there's a time involved. And it's that time that we need to be patient and persevering. So I just encourage you tonight, whatever you're praying for, keep on praying. Pray without ceasing. Never give up on the power and privilege of prayer. Praise God. Brother Taylor, would you come tonight? And Terry, we're so glad that you know, the tempest, the wind, God, you know, you have to give him credit. When you can't do anything but just go with it, you just have to say, "Thank you, Lord, for bringing me through this. Could have been so awful, but God is still on the throne." That's a bad feeling, isn't it? When you have no control at all over your circumstance, but you know that God still is in control. Hallelujah. We're glad you're here tonight. We're glad you're here at all. Praise God. God left you with us for a while, because I have no one with grayer hair than mine, except Brother Taylor. Can you say amen? But just a little grayer than mine. And as long as Terry's around, I feel better as mine slowly turns. Amen. Yeah, he's got a lot of it.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll take it anytime. Yeah, Grecian formula and his head of hair, I'll be just fine. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God bless you tonight. Let's look to the Lord for this service. I believe it's going to be especially challenging for us to pray and intercede. How many know people, not just yourself, but how many know people that really, really, really need God, but they don't want him yet? They really, 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 really need him, but they don't want him yet. They haven't discovered him. They're not hungry for him. Those are the people that are those seemingly impossible situations and circumstances. Well, nothing is impossible with God. Amen. And prayer is that wonderful privilege and powerful force. So we're going to be praying in a little while for that kind of people. We're going to be challenged before we do. amen, by testimony that I hope will encourage you to not give up on anybody.
Hallelujah. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. Thank you, Jesus. Talk to the Lord. God is good, isn't he? Amen. He's so faithful. Father, we thank you tonight for your great love, Lord, and thank you for the service this morning, Lord, for you challenged us, Lord. You gave us a challenge, Lord God. Lord, you told us, Jesus, to make a joyful noise unto you, Lord God. And Lord, help us to draw nigh unto you, Lord God, and you'll draw nigh unto us, Lord. Move by your spirit tonight, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Let your divine will be done in this service, Lord God. We come to thee, Lord God. We commit this service into your hands, Lord. Just have your way. Bless, heal, deliver, set free, Lord. Meet every need this present, God. Stir our hearts and our minds, Lord, to do your will, Lord. We're living in the end time. You're coming soon, Lord. You're coming after people that's ready to meet you, Lord. And there's so many people that are unsaved, Lord. So help us to be up and about our Father's business, Lord. God, being true witnesses for you, Lord. God, lead it over. Messiah, have your way tonight, God. Meet every need this present. In Jesus' name, for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wonderful Savior. We praise you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You can be seated for a few moments tonight. I miss Brother Willie today. Has anybody heard from him at all? I'm out of town or just rained out today? I don't know. It was an awful day. Worse than some street flooding, some bad conditions. And I'm not sure where he's coming from. But we do miss folks that are so regular and bless us so much. So if you hear from him, let me know. And I'll try to contact him this week and see if he's okay. That's the main thing. Praise God. Because we love each and every one of you. And we do care about you. And that's why when we heard the testimony about Terry, we just appreciated him a little more, knowing that he could have been a goner. Amen. But God is good. Praise the Lord. Elizabeth, would you please come? I want you to tell what you told me today. Tonight is the time to share that as we're getting ready to go to prayer. People that believe in our prayers to the Lord are going to come to us and ask us to pray and intercede for them. You can hear preaching all over the place, but prayer is something that doesn't take top shelf. I meet with preachers every Tuesday, have been doing it for a couple of years now, and it's almost like a look of surprise when we're all reminded and challenged. And I usually do that particular challenge. That's my passion, is prayer right now. I would have no hope of things changing if I didn't pray and believe that God was listening and that he was able to do something that I cannot do, that no one else can do. The Bible said they chose seven men full of the Holy Ghost to take care of all the other stuff that we might give ourselves to, number one, prayer, and then ministry of the word. Right now, the average minister prays in his personal prayer time. The average, through some of these questionnaires that sent out, some of these polls that are very accurate, that politicians even use them and for their purposes because of the accuracy of the companies that do the polling. You don't sign these things. No one's trying to condemn. We want people to be very honest. It's about 15 minutes per week. But we have several degrees in theology and furthering our theological education. We can bring a message that is theologically accurate, that is biblically correct, but without the Holy Spirit touching hearts, we're hard-pressed to see revival or changes or people delivered and set free. But when the Holy Spirit moves, and what releases God to move is intercessory prayer. So it doesn't start with preaching. It starts with praying. That's why C.H. Spurgeon, who was considered to be the prince of preachers in his day, he said these words because he knew without saturating it with prayer first that preaching would not find its target in the human heart. So he said, I'd rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. Praise God, because he knew if I can get a man praying and interceding, then when he does preach, it's going to have effect. And that's what Paul, he taught about spiritual armor. He told about the adversary, the armor, and the arena of battle in Ephesians chapter 6. The adversary, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Take you the whole armor of God. He enumerates the armor, and then he takes us to the arena of battle. After he says, having done all, stand with your armor on to do battle. Then he says, praying. The very next thing out of his mouth, praying for me and for all saints that utterance may be given unto me. Praise God that I can speak and those words will penetrate the darkness and get into that heart that's so hardened by sin and deception. People are confidenting your prayers and our prayers. Praise God. And God is honoring your prayers. And the more people hear about prayers being answered, amen, there's so many needy people out there. We better get ready to receive them. Praise God.
My daughter brought a family of husband and wife and a son, and every time I see the son, he always makes fun of me. Oh, you're a holy roller. And so he showed up at my door last week, and I invited him in, and he's just sitting there, and I'm like, what's up? And he wouldn't say nothing. He sat there, and I thought, well, he's real upset. So he stared at me, and I stared at him a few minutes, and then he says, do you and them ladies at your church really pray like you say they do? And I said, yeah, we do. And he said, well, y'all need to get to praying. My uncle is a morphine addict and an alcoholic, and he's OD'd. He's in a coma. They don't think he's going to live. And his brain was swelling, and they couldn't get the swelling to stop. So they checked him for encephalitis. He didn't have it. They kept running tests, couldn't find it. His brain kept swelling. So I told him, yes, we'll pray. So I called Ruth. Ruth and I prayed. And then 2 days later, I seen him at the gas station. And he says, did you ladies pray? And I said, yeah, I did. And the other lady did too. And he said, well, y'all need to pray again because he's got pneumonia. They can't find what's wrong with him, so they're going to take him off the respirator today. And they said there's no way he's going to live. So I said, I pointed at him and I said, he's 42. He's got a 13-month-old baby. I said, he's too young to die, and I'm going to pray that while he's in that coma, God's going to minister to him. Yeah. And he's going to know it's God because he's alive. And so he just kind of looked at me, okay. So I go to my daughter's house, watch the grandkids. She comes home from school, and I said, I'm going to tell her about, you know, he's got worse. I go, did you hear about Bert's uncle? She goes, yeah, Mom, he just called me. Bert just called me and said his uncle's out of the coma. And he said God talked to him while he was in the coma and told him it's because of him that he's alive, and he's going to go to church. He wants to get his life right.
Hallelujah!
And when I called Ruth the second time to pray, we didn't pray together that time. We just said, when we get off the phone, we'll pray. We prayed the exact same thing, and we prayed exactly how it happened.
Hallelujah! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just before we have a song and a testimony, and we're going to pray for these people, just like that, that look like they're too far gone for any prayer to be answered for. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for people like that. I've got people like that in my family that don't know how desperately, dangerously close to eternity they are and how desperately they need Jesus. But God can speak to them. Hallelujah. God can speak to them. Praise the Lord. I'm so grateful for this morning because my heart is just welling up with gratitude to the Lord. Looking back on all the years and where God has brought us from, I am so grateful to the Lord for what he's done for my wife and I, for our marriage, for our ministry, such as it is. It's minuscule comparatively, particularly in the day of the mega churches. But the power of prayer is not about how many people are praying. The scripture said, and Jesus taught, if two of you come together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That means he's no more present in a crowd of 10,000 tonight than he is where two or more gathered in his name. He said, I'll show up if 10,000, I'll show up if two or three. That means when it comes to God and his power, it's not based on numbers. It may seem like there's more power because of all of those people, but that's just because of the emotion that rises up when you see thousands of people worshiping or singing together. But he said, two or more of you come together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So he's here tonight. As real and relevant as he would be in a church of several thousand people. And when we pray together, and then it said, if any two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it will be given them of my Father which is in heaven. Praise God. If two of you shall agree as touching anything, we understand it has to be in his sovereign will and purpose. But when it is, it only takes two people in agreement to release all of that power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. So if our purpose here right at this point with the limited amount of people we have is to intercede effectively, then that is a holy purpose. And we're in the kingdom to fulfill that purpose. And we're in the kingdom for a time such as this. Can you say amen? We're getting ready to do some of that praying in just a moment. I was going to do some teaching on some principles, but I just feel led to just let it flow like it is. We're here in his name tonight. He said, there am I, right in the midst of you. And he's not just standing in the shadows. Remember the song, and it's a sentimental song. It's not really biblically that accurate, but it's kind of sentimentally soothing. You may sing it. I've sung it before. Standing somewhere. I usually sing it when I got the blues. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one that cares and understands. He's never in the shadows. He's in the midst. Can you say, man, he's always in the midst of his people. Praise God. And he's a prayer answering God. Dave Wilkerson is with the Lord now. He had a traffic accident. I don't know if he was, somebody told him he needed to move to Sun City. and when he retired, and he said, I'm not planning on retiring. He didn't see himself as an older guy. I think he was 79. And that's not too old in this economy. Praise God. You still got a lot of left in you. And so anyway, maybe he just dropped off. I don't know, nodded off. Something happened. But he's home, safe with the Lord. But he left a legacy. And Times Square Church is still right in the center of all the sin in New York City. And a choir is made up like the Brooklyn Tabernacle. Not all, of course, but many of the people that you see singing in those great choirs and of these churches are people that have come right out of the street, right out of drug addiction, right out of all of the kind of sins that you could imagine. And they are trophies of grace. And they are the product of someone, somewhere, that prayed for them. It may be a family member, somebody that you know, but it may be somebody that you don't even know that has prayed for you. It may be a pastor at night walking out on his porch and praying over a city like Whitfield did. He was standing in the doorway of his house looking out over the city and the cold air. And his wife said, come in, you're going to catch your death standing in that cold draft. And he said, how can I think of myself when so many people are on their way to hell and they don't know Jesus Christ? And he was weeping over that city just like Jesus wept over Jerusalem. I'm so glad somebody prayed for me. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that somebody prayed for you and interceded for you tonight? Praise the Lord. So I just want to take you somewhere that I'll probably never get to go, or you either, but to Times Square for just a moment and hear some of these folks that have come out of that kind of sin worship our great King tonight before we have a short testimony, and we're going to pray together. Two or more gathered in His name, there am I, and if any two of you agree as touching anything, it'll be given them of my Father. Happened this morning for my son. Boy, is he grateful. He praying for all of us tonight for God to bless us real good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, we prayed he wouldn't have a hard time, and he said, normally when they come through, it's like a knife or razor blade or anyway. I've heard some real bad stories about them things. But, amen. In fact, his Carol went to the hospital and had to have, something had to give. And he said that there was absolutely no pain when it finally came through. God just blessed him and answered prayer. Hallelujah. So he's got a great name that we call upon tonight.
Lost our Savior.
It's Times Square Church. A legacy of Mr. David Wilkerson.
Of your great name, and all condemned feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Every fear has no of your great name. Yeah, let me
Praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve tonight. As we get ready to receive this testimony and then to pray, I believe we are. Yeah, we are. This young lady, to me, but she's now beginning to get into her middle age. To look at her, to walk out on a platform and to be part of the ministry of Times Square Church, you would never dream of where God brought her from and what she had been through. To see what God has done to restore parents and children, children that they had just given up on because those children had just given over to Satan and to sin. And it looked like there's no hope. I don't know the backstory of who interceded, but I'm convinced that no one pulls themselves out of these pits that they get in without God's help. And I'm equally convinced, the more I read Scripture, that God's help doesn't come to people that keep pushing against Him unless somebody intercedes for them. Because God said in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and I looked. Remember the Bible said in the book of Daniel, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to do what? To show Himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward Him. So He said, I looked for a man. This is part of the mystery of prayer, because God has chosen to operate within His kingdom, that prayer is the master key. Amen. It's always been. Faith is not the master key. Whatever you ask in prayer, the master key. Believing, adding your faith. But faith has been put up as the master key, because you don't need, if there's a force called faith that's going to get all this stuff, you don't need to have a relationship with God. But to pray, you have to have a relationship with Him. And He wants relationship above everything else. Can you say amen? And intimacy. It's an intimate thing when two people begin to commune with one another. Praise God. Jesus put it this way. I want to come in and I want to sup with you and I want you to sup with me. But I looked for a man among them who would stand in the gap. See, sin has created a tremendous gap. My hand is not short, He told ancient Israel, that it cannot save. My ear is not heavy, that it cannot hear. But your sin has separated between you and your God. That's a gap. Somebody steps up for that person and stands in that gap. And the moment we do, the Bible said we have the ability as priests unto the Lord. Maybe next Wednesday, next Sunday night, we can talk about that priestly ministry of prayer. It's incredible. It is so powerful. I can't wait to hear it myself. Praise God. Amen. It's going to be good. But tonight, amen, I just want you to think about that. God looking for somebody to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Amen. You may not realize it tonight. Your kids may not realize it. And I'm not talking about this kid right here, because she realizes it. She appreciates intercessory prayer. Praise God. But amen. Our kids may not realize it tonight, but we are vital to their covering and their protection. When they don't have a leg to stand on themselves, somebody is standing in. Alice knows what I'm talking about. She's standing in the gap, making up a hedge tonight. Praise God. Ruth stands in the gap, makes up the hedge. I'm standing in the gap, making up the hedge. Sister Taylor, you're standing in the gap and making, you're standing in the gap. Amen. Crazy as our kids get, we can still stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Praise God. Amen. And God is still on the throne tonight, standing in the gap, making up the hedge. Praise God. He's so wonderful tonight. Let's hear this testimony.
I'm asking Jackie Stradoff to come. Jackie, God bless you, dear.
Good morning, church.
I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was the oldest of six children.
We raised her like all the other children. She just went a different route.
I got off track in life, as maybe many of you have.
Taking pills, getting high, having sex in the backseat of cars and all that kind of thing. And I was dating the captain of the football team, and he was a senior, and then a cheerleader by the name of Lois, a blonde cheerleader, kind of moved in. And and he dumped me for her. And the rejection felt really profound. That was the first time that I tried to kill myself. The next guy that I hooked up with was also older.
One day they called and just said that they got married.
And when I was 6 months pregnant, he had beaten me so badly, went in the hospital, and I had been carrying twins and they were born dead, and I was left sterile.
I didn't know about it. I didn't even know she was pregnant.
That summer was the summer that that I found heroin. I mean, you just spiral down so fast.
Began to have to, you know, go out on the streets and commit all kinds of crime just to continually get the money to feed my habit.
I had five other children at home, and I mean, I did not have time to be dealing and going to court in and out and putting up bond money and stuff. I mean, it was just one thing after another.
There was a man that I was living with that was a drug dealer at the time, and
one night we went out, and when we came back, Michael was passed out in the bathtub.
And so we just pulled him over onto the bed and just kept shooting drugs through the night and didn't pay any attention to it.
In the morning I woke up because I was freezing cold, and realized I was freezing cold because he was freezing cold.
I can't call anybody or do anything because they'll come and they'll take all our drugs.
And at the time, Larry's working construction at this apartment site.
They took the body and wrapped it in a carpet.
And took him down the stairs and put him in the back of the truck.
And carried it out to the job site where he worked. And he worked the backhoe, and he dug down about 10 or 15 feet.
And we went and buried him. And we swore that we'd never speak about it again. Things got really bad for me mentally after that. That's when my little brother came over to check on me. And I asked him if he wanted to try some. And so I shot him up. And he immediately started convulsing in my arms. Dragged him outside to the balcony.
And he died in my arms. And he was only 19 years old.
I was furious at her. I mean, I said, don't talk to me about her. I don't want to see her. I don't care what you do with her. I said, I don't want to hear nothing about it. I'm done.
The day that of my brother's funeral, my father came with his friend Frank. And he said, God sent me here to tell you that if you'll turn your life over to him, that he'll change you and he'll raise you up and use you to touch other people's lives. The book was given to me that Frank was talking about. And there was a number on the back of the book. And I went to the phone booth and I made a collect call to that number.
And they sent a ticket and they brought me in this program. And I went in this program, I was high, they just put me to bed. The next day I woke up and I wanted to sneak away. And she says, listen, she said, if you'll let us pray for you, she said, I'll drive you back to town and put you on the bus and you can go back to D.C. I said, bet, I can do anything for 24 hours, right?
And they started praying. And I mean, almost immediately,
I could feel fire starting off in my belly right here. And it just raced through my whole body.
It was like I could feel something like scrubbing me from the inside out.
Everybody was saying to me, God touched you. God touched you. This is Jesus. He's touching you.
I didn't know anything theologically, but I knew when I got up off that floor that I would never, ever, ever be the same again. Ever. And I never was. And then all I wanted to know was, tell me more about Jesus.
In my filth, he loved me. He loved me. When I got clean, but while I was still dirty.
When I finished the program, I wanted more, and I started hearing that David Wilkerson was going to start a Bible school for Teen Challenge graduates.
And she was chosen to go to David Wilkerson's program because they took the best students there, and that's where she met her husband.
I found out on my first anniversary I was pregnant with my son. Yes. And 6 years later, he gave me another gift and gave me a daughter.
Her kids have just turned out great, you know, and I just can't get enough from her now. I mean, we just talk all the time.
And I never once dreamt that Jacqueline would end up becoming a minister herself.
So what the world said was not possible, God said, just watch me. What's been taken from you, what's been done to you, don't worry about it, because I'm going to give it all back to you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and pray right now. I don't know about your faith, but my faith is reaching out because God does these things. He's still mighty to save. Can you say, man, he's mighty to save. He's mighty to save. He's mighty to save. Heavenly Father, I want you to just think right now before we pray. Just think of those people that desperately need him, but don't want him. Desperately need him, but don't want him. Don't know him, don't want to know him. But they need him so desperately tonight. You know people like that. They may be very close to you. They need him, but they don't want him. But they desperately need him. Let's pray for them tonight. Let's pray for them to find him. More importantly, let's pray for him to find them. Because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Father, we're encouraged tonight to believe you, to seek and save people that are running from you. Let them run into you tonight. Wherever they are, wherever they're headed in life, Father, let them come to a place, Father, where they come to know you. Set them free. Your whole anointing, Jesus, is to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to open the eyes of the blind. This is so far beyond the physical healing of Bartimaeus that it's not even worthy to be compared. This is when the eyes that can't see their lost condition, the eyes that can't see the offer of salvation, these blind eyes that the God of this world has blinded, it's when these eyes come open and they can see what they can't see because of spiritual blindness and bondage. Open their eyes. Open their eyes. Open their eyes and let them see the glory of the gospel and be saved. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus tonight. Moshalababa, Nendadaba Roshalaba Kisanda, Nekalaba Sitia. You keep talking to their head. God wants to touch their heart. Handadaba Hositiandadaba Kosele, Mondadaba Roshalaba Kitana, Netadabata. Except they become as a little child, they can't see the kingdom. They can't see it. They can't enter it. But when they see it, then they can enter it. Praise God. Handa barosha, sela bakosidia, nanda da basilianda. Father, we pray tonight. We intercede tonight. There's someone here standing in the gap tonight. Someone here is making up the hedge. The enemy would destroy them quickly if someone wasn't standing in the gap and making up the hedge. Help us to be a church that stands in that gap and makes up that hedge. Mola bakasitianda da baroshalama, sela bakesianda, mela baroshala bakesia, nenda da baroshala barianda da bakose, sala baritiondo da bohosala, keshala barata da basidianda da ba, ola bakarashala, nenda da basilia, ne toroboroshala. Father, we praise you tonight. We praise you tonight. We praise you tonight. Halaba roshalaba. You told Peter, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. What you bind on earth, this is praying. This is intercession. This is that priestly ministry. Hallelujah. Shalaba kosadadara. Behold, I've made you a kingdom of priests, he said in the book of Revelation. Kings and priests, I've given you divine authority in my name. Praise God. Hola baroshanamana. Selabadianda da bokorote. Selabaranda da bositianda da bokeli. Salabaroshalabaria. Nanda da bakina. Father, we praise you. We praise you. We honor you. Oh, Baba Hasiki anda da basuti anda. Halabaki anda da bosala badianda. Neta da basata. Sela bakosala dinda baba. Yes. All right. Let's stretch your hand this way. We're going to intercede. A four-year-old with behavior problems, we don't know where it comes from. Sometimes it is just emotional, psychological, but sometimes it's spiritual. But God knows. God knows exactly. Father, our children need your covering tonight. Our grandchildren need your covering tonight. When Bob Green and his wife, he's been a pastor for years. He used to be our Sunday school superintendent years ago. When they came to our church, their daughter cried out all night long. Something tormenting her. We laid hands on her in the name of Jesus Christ. God delivered her, and her mother said from that day on, she never did that again. If it was demonic, God broke it. If it was spiritual, God took care of it. If it was physical, mental, God addressed it. We just brought her to God in the name of Jesus Christ and covered her in this kind of intercessory prayer, and God did the work. Hallelujah. Stretch your hand this way, and let's believe the Lord. Praise God. Brother Taylor, would you come? And Sister Taylor, would you come? Praise God. I just want both of you to put hands on her tonight and touch her as we pray and intercede. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for this grandchild. We pray, Father, whatever the problem is, you know the root of it. You know where it comes from. And it doesn't make any difference to you whether the devil is trying to torment him or whether there's some other physical ailment going on here. But Father, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we rebuke the devil. Hallelujah. Who would love to destroy everything concerning us, but we stand in the gap and we make up the hedge in Jesus' name. Let your healing and let your deliverance flow to him tonight. And give him peace. Hallelujah. Give him peace and love and kindness and joy. Put your hand upon him tonight, Father. We bring him to you, lift him to you tonight. In Jesus' name. Show us your glory and deliver him, Father, for the glory of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else, you're struggling with anything and you need prayer, we'll pray with you tonight. God is in this place. Hallelujah. God is in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. This week, continue to pray. We can't possibly do it in one evening. This is something that has to be integrated into our life. Amen. Pray without ceasing. Continue all week long. Praise God. And keep praying and keep believing. I believe the Lord is going to keep lifting us up, telling us more about prayer, showing us more in answers to prayer. Hallelujah. And encouraging. You know what my dad said? When he heard, because he had prayed and wept for my son, Matthew, because he had one of them stones and he knew what he was going through. And he prayed and had wept over him. And when I told him, he said, oh, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah. He, not just for the answer, but the fact that that answer meant that there's other prayers that are before the Lord that we can expect answers to. Can you say amen? That's what he said. He said that means other prayers can be answered. That means other prayers can be answered. You know, and he's just kind of, you can hear a gleeful praise coming out of his heart, to tears of joy. If prayers are being answered, that means other prayers will be answered. And pretty soon we're going to see the wonderful hand of God moving in people's lives and in families and in circumstances. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, when the word gets out that prayers are getting answered, there's so many desperate needs in people's lives. They won't come just to hear me preach. They'll come to get in this kind of intercessory prayer church where they know if I get in trouble, I can make a phone call, and I'm not going to get somebody reading a script on the other end. I'm going to get some Holy Ghost-filled person that's going to go before the throne of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we're going to see His glory again. And I want to see that with all of my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. So, did you get something out of this? We didn't have to teach no big message. You heard it in the testimony. Saw what God can do tonight. Praise the Lord. Part of this ministry goes all the way down to what used to be called the dark continent, Africa. But Africa is, oh man, in Uganda, praise God. When I see kids that are the orphans, they're AIDS orphans, all of these. All these kids are AIDS orphans. Their mamas and daddies died in the AIDS epidemic, but an orphanage, Christian orphanage, took them in, and oh, how they love Jesus. Hallelujah. And they love to praise Him. And I think we ought to end this service with a praise with these precious kids from Uganda. Hallelujah. Down in Africa. Praise the Lord.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus is Jesus.
Jesus, come on.
Jesus, 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 Jesus,
Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to know the joyful sound if we keep this up. Sawa means the good one, following Jesus.
Ladies,
I really
and gentlemen,
do.
Watoto is on stage. It's ready. Put your hands together. Come on. One, two, three.